In here today, yeah, that got your attention, didn't it? Hey, we're all going to stand, greet each other. You know the drill. When the music stops, make sure you're in your seat, and let's stand and greet each other. If you want to go ahead and make your way back to your seat, and welcome everybody to Sunday school this morning. Well, thank you for coming to the Victory Bible class. Let me start out with, since we did our prayer groups last week, let's catch up on our anniversaries and birth dates as I have them. So we have, let's see, from last week and this week, we have Carrie and Kim Phipps, anniversary number 20. Wade and Nikki Garber, number 19. I think I saw Wade and Nikki somewhere. Yes, 19, is that correct? And that is coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow, right? You all look surprised. All right. Happy 19th. Great. Birthdays. Let's see here. So for last week and this week, James Ketron on the 7th, Steve Alcorn on the 12th, and Margaret Tipton on the 12th. Is that right, everyone? You look surprised, too. It's Tuesday. Tim's probably the one going to be surprised. All right. So happy birthday to you guys. Anybody that I missed that would be willing to admit it? Or point to somebody? Oh, yes. Tomorrow? And you said 41? 41. Awesome. Happy anniversary. If you want to make sure to let somebody in the church office know that, that way it'll be on our records. I won't ever forget it again. All right. Thank you. Well, that's great. Happy anniversary. Anyone else willing to admit it or willing to point to somebody beside you and admit it for them? No. All right. I want to tell you, Brother Jody Dinkins had his surgery this past Monday. He came through that very successfully, so thank you for praying for him, and just continue to lift his name up and his family up in your prayers. Jamie Baker is going to Vanderbilt next Monday, I believe. Is that right, Rick? Next Monday, so let's remember Jamie. And most of y'all remember Brad Griffin that used to come to church here, and Brad is having rotator cuff surgery. That would be probably Thursday or Friday, I believe, this week, on the 15th. Right, so Brad, I was just told he fell off a roof and really messed his shoulder up. So I've known several people that have had rotator cuff surgery. I've never had it myself, but has anybody in here ever had it before? Okay, so I see a couple of hands. Okay, so you guys know what that's like. So he is not only facing surgery, but a lot of rehab. And I understand the rehab is not that fun either. Would you all agree? Yeah, so... All right, so let's remember Brad on the 15th. Yes, please.
I can tell you how to do it. Get yourself a broomstick. Arm straight out.
Yeah.
Do this 40 times a day with a broomstick. You'll probably never have a rotator cuff here.
Yeah, that's a great idea. The other thing is don't fall off a roof, and that'll pretty much help it. That was number two, right? How many of us have ever done something we know we probably shouldn't be doing? And yeah, me too. All right. Man, I just happened to look at Buddy. Buddy, you climb on roofs all the time, and yeah, you climb on roofs all the time, don't you? Yeah, you. Yeah, I understand. Right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and continue to remember as you pray. You know, during the week, let's continue to remember our church as we're searching for our new pastor. Keep that in your prayers. And I would also encourage you as members of our church, be in the Bible every single day. There's something in there for you. And again, as I've told you guys many times, I'm not a professional in the ministry. I've never been to Bible college or nothing like that. I'm just one of you. But I can tell you that if you read the Bible every single day, your life cannot be the same. And I promise you that. Statistically, there's probably some amongst us that are not in the Bible every day. Just I'm saying statistically. I would encourage you, find something in there to read every single day. Maybe a place to start would be the book of Proverbs. Today's the 10th, start in Proverbs chapter 10. Read chapter 10. Tomorrow's the 11th, read chapter 11, and so forth. Proverbs has 31 chapters, so that'll work pretty well for you most months. It's a good place to start. But find something in the Bible every single day and read it. I would encourage you. I can't tell you enough how much that will change your life and how much that you will enjoy it. It'll help strengthen you. You'll find that sometimes things in life that seem overwhelming, man, when you get in the Word, you find out, hey, there's actually help for me. Hey, there's somebody who's gone through something like this before, and it's written here to help me. I can't encourage you enough, be in the Bible every single day, be in prayer every single day. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will get on with our lesson. Yes, Leroy. And when is that date? So Tuesday. All right. Father, Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us. Thank you that we have this time right here set aside every Sunday when we can meet together as a class. And I'm with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. In physical life, I have one brother, but here I have dozens of brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I thank you so much that you provided salvation for us, that you are referenced in the Bible as our Heavenly Father, and we are your children, therefore we're brothers and sisters. And I can't explain how much that it means to me to be amongst my brothers and sisters every week. And then the boys and girls that come in here in the next service, they're my brothers and sisters as well. And thank you for the encouragement that we can be to each other. Thank you that we can meet together here and we can open up your Word. We can read it. We can study it. We can find out what it says and what it has for us. Thank you that we can pray and we can bring requests before you. We can bring our innermost thoughts and sometimes our fears and our doubts and anything we can bring before you. Thank you that you love us and you hear us and you care about us. And we do want to pray for this group going to work on the wall and the house and so forth over in the it's on the other side of the world, and we know it's a rainy time. There's all kinds of weather problems. There's mud and so forth. But bless these folks that go and give them the knowledge they need. Give them the tools they need. Give them the right weather. Give them what they need to accomplish the task that they set forth to do, and because I know it'll be such a blessing for them to be there. And Lord, we want to continue praying for our church. We thank you for Brother Jody's surgery going successfully. Just continue to have your hand on him and his family. Just help them through this time they're going through. Lord, help our church, our deacons as they're working their way through our next pastor. And as we've said many times, I know that you have a plan for our church. You have to. The Bible talks so many times about how you guide our steps and you guide our walk. But we also know the devil has a plan for us, and we want to make sure we follow your plan. And one of the ways we can do that as a congregation is we're in the Word every single day. We're letting it speak to us, and we're praying and asking you for guidance and help in our lives. And give us unity. Help us to be unified together. And Lord, just bless our church. Keep it as one of your lighthouses that has been here for so many years. And we want to keep it going like that. And Lord, we want to pray for Jamie going to Vanderbilt here, I believe, next Monday. That you'd bless her, bless Rick, help them with that trip, that it would be successful. And then we want to pray for Brad having surgery, I believe, this Thursday or Friday. And it's really not just a surgery, but he's going to have a lot of rehab going on after that. And I know Brad is not one to just sit still. That's just not who he is, and it's going to be very difficult for him. And I just pray you would bless him and you'd help him through this and give him healing. And he's going to need patience. He's probably going to need encouragement and probably a lot of other things. But, Lord, you know what he needs. You know where he is. And even though he's many, many states away, we can pray for him here in Tennessee, and you can reach down and help him out there in Texas. Lord, bless Dr. Stevens as he comes and opens up the scriptures to us today. As we study about Abraham, we look at Lot, we look at what you have for us in Genesis. Thank you for the book of Genesis. Thank you that you've given it to us, and that we can go through it and learn all the things that we need to help us walk closer with you. And Lord, just bless our lesson today, bless our church. Thank you for all your blessings to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Pray for the team that goes over, for Buddy and Jerry. They're leaving on Tuesday, and then we've got one from Michigan and one from Nevada going to go and help put that wall. Pray. It's been right. Jerry, did you hear any more on the weather? Where?
Afraid to look.
Susan contacted my wife, and I think that they've let up some. So, whether the weather be cold or whether the weather be hot, whether the weather be rainy or whether it be not, whatever the weather will weather the weather, whether we like it or not. So pray for them as they go, because the wall can't be built unless it's... But they got other things for you to do as well. I just want to, before I get into the lesson today, I just want you to continue to pray for our pulpit committee, which is our deacons. I have served on 12 different pulpit committees in the last 10 years doing interims, and I have never seen such unity as we have. And such, every time we do a vote, Edgar Wright, all the hands seem to go up, and we just see what God is doing, and we're rejoicing in that. I talked to Wade this morning, and then I told him we're praying for him. We're down to three possible candidates, one of those three, as God has laid that out for the pulpit committee. I've been attending the meetings. Thank the Lord for the sweet unity that is there and the workings of God. Yesterday, one of the men that we've talked to said, you fellows need to write a book on this. I've said that already to the pulpit committee. You need to write a book. I want a copy of it, the way they have worked hard with such unity. And I've never seen anything like the 11 that 12 that I've done. This is the one, is the example for all the others. So pray for the men. We're down to three, and I think at least 2 years from now you'll have it. No. You should have someone here within the next month or two considering being your pastor. And I want to say thank you also for those who have come to me personally and said, why don't you become our pastor? You people who are senile, you'll get over that. But thank you so much, my wife and I. We're here several more weeks, I think, so we're not leaving tomorrow. My wife is not with me right now. She's home. She's got bronchitis, and I was afraid of pneumonia setting in and had her stay home and told her even today, please don't go to church. But I think she's going to get online. She said, I'll get online and watch the church services at Maranatha. I said, honey, why don't you try Buffalo Ridge? Why don't you try Buffalo Ridge? So pray that she gets her life right with the Lord and tunes into Buffalo Ridge. And if I thought for sure she'd do it, I'd stick my tongue out at her, but I probably shouldn't do that. Thank you so much for your support for our ministry here. We came in July, came in June to do an interview, and And here we are looking down the line and seeing that the light at the end of the tunnel, thank God, is not an oncoming train, but it's a pastor for your church. And we're excited. God will pick his man and wife and family in his timing. And my prayer, of course, I'm going to really exhort you once you get the vote is taken for whoever it may be down the line here. Not yet. That you will back them up. And don't compare them. If you do that, I'll come back here and blow you up. So we don't know yet. We're just saying we're down to three and praying that God is due sort. This pulpit committee is an amazing group of men, and their wives have been a lot of time without having their husband at home. And thank the Lord for each man, each wife, so forth. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. Actually, just turn to the 19th chapter, because that's where I want to focus mainly this morning on. We dealt with Romans 1 and dealing here with the days, the last days, and last time, and dealt with sodomy. So this morning we want to deal with the text. But before I do that, put something there so you can get back to it, and turn to the book of 2 Peter. If you don't know where that is, that's right after 1 Peter. If you don't know where that is, check with somebody sitting next to you. 2 Peter 2. And I want you to notice a verse here, because if you did not have this verse, I would wonder how many sermons would be preached that Lot was lost. I wonder how many sermons you hear that he will not be in heaven. But I come to this passage here, 2 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 9. And I want you to see, first of all, his conversion and delivered just Lot. Verse 7 of chapter 2, 2 Peter. Just Lot. Now, the word just here is a theological word, literally meaning he was justified, he was saved. There's no indication that he ever lived like it. I don't see any. But we know that was his position. But his practices were different than his position. But no, really, you're doing wrong with me. Just Lot. And then we see not only the conversion, which I believe he is in heaven, but notice the conscience of Lot. He says he is tormented. The word vexed here means to be tormented. Tormented man. Tormented by his conduct of those around him. He could not enjoy life because of the company that he kept. He was converted by the word. Far too many of God's people get another conversion by the world. Lot did this. He became more like the world than I can think of. He was not only, do we see his conversion and his conscience tormented. I hope today that you keep your conscience clean and right and tender. Nothing worse than hardening your conscience, because I think this is what he did often. But we're going to go to the 19th chapter, and we're going to see, even though he did that, we know his conscience was vexed. He not only was converted, his conscience bothered him, but he certainly here, think about the choice that he made. He makes some wrong choices. Someone said two decisions on the shelf, one is God and one is self. Be sure you don't make self. He chose the wrong decision. You go to the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, and remember, he chose to be near Sodom. He made a choice. I think not only of his conversion and of his conscience, he was bothered by, tormented, But captivity, look at verse 8 again. For this righteous man, now we looked at verse 7, for this righteous man dwelling, what, among them. The word dwelling is an interesting word. It means to feel at home. How can anybody who is saved feel at home among a bunch of homosexuals? That would be hard for me to understand. But I tell you what, there are things in our life where we're not careful can equally get a hold of us and can captivate us. And then, not only do we think of his conversion, thank God for that. I think if I didn't have that verse, there'd be a lot of different sermons about Lot. His conscience tormented, his captivity dwelt among them, became like his carnality. He was worldly in every sense of the word. You know, I know some worldly Christians who have been captivated by the world. It's very easy for that to happen if you don't stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. How easy it is. Now to go back there, if you will, to the 19th chapter of this great book, Genesis, and look with me, if you will, over there in, we begin, but in order to get the story, you actually have to look at chapter 18 for a few moments. Look there in chapter 18, and we see here God sent two angels. But you say, wait a minute, preacher. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, verse 1 of chapter 18, and said in the tent of the door of the heated day, he lifted up his eyes, he looked, and lo, three men. But only two of these are angels. We're going to see that the third one is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and called a Christophany. When he appeared, often Jesus would appear in Old Testament times in a different form. These three men, look here, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and those three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them and from the tent door and bowed himself from the ground, and he said, my Lord, there are three different names for the name God in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Elohim, Jehovah, and Adonai. This is the word Adonai, which means my Lord. And he referred, he said, I said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And I'm convinced today that he was referring to the Lord to call him his master. Angels are not your masters. And he prepared a meal for them, and they ate, and then he gave them some information there. And then look at verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard at the tent door, which behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in years, pretty close to 100 by this time. How would you like, fellows, for when you came home from work, your wife in 70 or 80 years of age says, honey, we're going to have a baby in 9 months. And then we take you to the hospital with a heart attack. And we think of that. Of course, God performed a tremendous miracle here. Sarah questioned it. I like verse 14. Would you underline that in your Bible? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Underline that thought. You think about the pastor God wants you to have. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nah, not at all. And he will give you the one that he will want you to have. Nothing's too hard for God. And so the Lord then began to let Sarah know and Abraham know that. But then let's move down to the angels. And the Lord said, because, verse 20, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. If not, I will know. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't know all things. But a lot of times in Scripture, God will speak that way to let you know he wants you to know he's checking out the evidence as he's down there. He already knew because he's God. In verse 22, and the men turned their faces. Verse 22 is key. From thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood by the Lord. Now, how many men were there? How many people appeared? Three. Look at verse 22. And the men turned their faces. Now, they're angels appearing as men, and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. Now, it's a different word for Lord here. We look there as Abraham called him Lord. But here it's the word Jehovah, a high and holy name for the Lord. When Moses, in the third chapter of Exodus, remember when the Lord appeared to him at the burning bush, he said, well, who are you? He said, I am that I am. That's the eternal Son of God. That's the word for Jehovah. And they went to Sodom, and Abraham stood yet before them. And Abraham loves to play games, I guess. You ever play a game with God? I suggest you don't do it. You'll lose every time. Lose every time. And he has already been told what God is going to do, going to send those angels. And then we'll know that Sodom will be destroyed. But look here, Abraham is thinking, Lord, that's a big city. Peradventure, verse 24, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare this place for 50 righteous men? And the Lord said, be far from me. He said to the Lord, thou be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. He's getting awful familiar with God right here, isn't he? We have to be careful to have boundaries with God. Hello? Have boundaries how we speak to God about things of God. That the righteous shall be as the wicked, thee far from thee. Lord, Lord, I'm here to prevent you from making a gross mistake. Don't you get that idea from that's exactly what he's actually saying? I want to help you, God. I want to help you along so you don't make a horrible mistake. Isn't it interesting how we want to tell God how to run lives? Notice these words, shall thou not judge, shall not the judge of all the earth do righteous? That's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're all going to stand before him one day, every one of us. He's the judge. He's not Judge Judy or any judge that you may see on TV. He's a righteous judge all the way, never makes a wrong calling. And the Lord said, if I find 50, and then he gets thinking about this, and verse 28, peradventure there shall be lack five of the 50 righteous. Well, destroy the city for lack of five. He said, if I find there 40 and five. Then you come to verse 29, and he's spoken to him yet again, and peradventure there shall be 40 there. And he said, I'll not destroy it for 40. Now he's increasing number. He's been going by fives. But look at verse 30. And he said unto him, oh, not let not the Lord be angry. I will speak peradventure there be 30. Going to jump from 40 to 30 now. He's thinking there's got to be 30 people that are righteous because Lot's there. Surely he's showed some the way. In verse 31, the Lord with great dogmatism, and I'll not do it if I find 30. He said, behold, now I, verse 31, take upon me to speak in the Lord, peradventure be 20. I won't do it for 20. Oh, he thinks he's got the Lord here in verse 32. He said, oh, not let the Lord be angry. I will speak yet, but this once, peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I'll not destroy it for 10's sake. He's thinking, there's me, there's my wife, there's my two daughters, There's my two sons-in-laws. That's what, six? Surely there's four others there. Surely there's at least four. Wow. I'm so glad God's patience with us. All I see in this text is the patience of God. I would have slapped him alongside the head in holy anger. Say, don't question me what I'm doing. Then you come to chapter 19, and we have here, then there came two what? Angels. These are the two men in verse 22 of chapter 18. Now let me just stop for a moment, because we need to talk about angels for just a brief moment. Let me say three things. I preached a whole series on angels in my former churches that I've pastored, because I think our people, we're living in an angel maniac society. People want to see angels, so forth. Let me give you three main truths about angels. Number one, never reconstruct the truth about angels to fit your idea of what angels ought to be. Don't do that. Don't reconstruct the truth about angels to fit what you think angels ought to look like. Now, ladies, I hope you don't get offended. I'm going to believe anyway. I don't find women angels in the Bible. Okay? Don't cry. It'd be okay. They're all pure. They all are in the masculine. Never second replace. So never reconstruct the truth about angels to fit your idea of what you want angels to be. Now go with me to book, before I give the other two, to the book of Hebrews. And turn with me to chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at the first chapter, and we're going to look at the second chapter, or the last chapter, first and the last chapter of Hebrews. And we find verse 13 and 14 of chapter 1. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And then he, look at verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Those who are going to be saved, every one of us have angels watching over us. Isn't that great? Think about that. They're watching over us. In my life, I was raised with the gangs. Been a lot of violence in my life. Marks on my body to prove that. And I suppose in my life, we've sent a few angels back to heaven for repair jobs. Maybe with you as well. But God knew that I would accept him as Lord and Savior, so his angels watched over me, because I'd be one of his children one day. Times when I should have been killed, I've been shot at four times, just as a teenager. But bullets just whizzed everywhere, and every one of them got me. I'm so thankful, because God knew I'd be saved. Now, I wasn't out there saying, go ahead, shoot, have fun. I was running from them. But look at chapter 31, or chapter 31. Go to the last, if you want to go to chapter 31, you go ahead and look for it. If you find it, please let me know. But try the 13th chapter here, not 31, but 13. Keep the numbers right. Not, it's 1-3, not 3-1. Verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Wow, I have meditated on that thought many a time, how God sometimes will put angels. We don't know they're angels, I don't think. This is the point. Don't try to go out on a mission to find angels. That's not what God wants you to do. But sometimes God will put, as he did here, when they appeared to Abraham, they appeared as men, but now they're angels. Now, secondly, not only never reconstruct the truth about angels to fit what you want them to be, but two, never replace your interest in God with them of angels. Never replace your interest that you have in God and put that interest on angels. I think one of the most humorous passages, it's not humorous in the text, but it is to me, to illustrate my point. Go to Exodus chapter 32. So never replace your worship of God with that of giving interest to angels. When I come to chapter 32, or 33, I think it's 33 there. Remember in chapter 32 when Moses, or when Aaron made the idol, the golden lamb and the idol they bowed down before. Remember that story? God was very upset. And in the Lord, verse 33, chapter 33, the Lord said unto Moses, this is after this event. And matter of fact, just go back over to chapter 32. Here's Moses. He's coming down from the mount with Josh. In verse 30, chapter 32 and verse 17 and 18, I think there's some humor here too. You'll appreciate this, Brother Robertson, being in music. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said to them, there's a noise of war in the camp. Verse 18, he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but it's the noise of them that sing. They just made a noise, and I'm convinced a lot of music today is nothing more than noise. Just write down noise is all it is. And so God was very upset. And now come to chapter 33, and the Lord said unto Moses, verse 1, go up hence, thou and thy people, which thy brought up out of the land of Egypt, the land of which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to thy seed will give it. And look what he says in verse 2. It's such a profound thought here. I will send an angel before thee, and I'll drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusites and the electric lights and all those other lights. Now to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'll send an angel. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 3. In the land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 3. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. Underline those words. Up to this time, everywhere they traveled, God went before them. God went behind them. God was beside them everywhere. But he said, I'm going to not do it. I'm just going to send an angel. And I got news for you. When the people heard this, verse 4. These evil tidings. Notice, heard. The people heard these evil tidings. They mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. The Lord has said unto Moses, saying to children, you are a stiff-necked people. And I will come into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do with thee. And on and on. But I like so they... They're not jumping up and down. Hey, this is great, man. We're going to have an angel lead us. Isn't that wonderful? No. Angels can't replace God. Angels just can't do that. As a matter of fact, when Moses hears it, look over here in the same chapter, and look with me, if you will, please, there in verse 12, 13, and 14. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, see, thou sayest to me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Don't tell me that the Old Testament is not full of grace, because you're saved by grace. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider this nation. Look what he says in verse 14. He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Lord, if you're not going with us, I'm not moving. We're not going anywhere. I hope you feel the same way in your Christian life as you begin each day. Don't go anywhere without assurance that His presence is with you. Moses said, I'm not moving. Now, he wasn't trying to be stubborn. He just thought, I can't go anywhere without God. Do you feel that way today? I hope you do. So first remember this. Never reconstruct the truth about angels to fit your idea of what angels ought to be. Never replace your interest in God with these angels. And third, never give reverence to angels as you would God. I want you to notice an illustration of that. Go into the last book of the New Testament, and I'm not referring to concordance. Go to the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. And look with me as an angel has been speaking to John. Look, verse 17 of chapter 19. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor for him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife was made ready of herself ready. And to her was granted she could be arrayed in linen, clean and white, for the time thy linen is the righteous of the saints. He said unto me, now who's speaking? It's an angel speaking to John. Right, blessed are they which are called in the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. I fell, verse 10, at his feet to what? Worship him. He said to me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Don't worship angels. You don't do that. Don't open yourself to that world. I guarantee you, if you open yourself to a world of angels, you'll be like Saul when he wanted to worship, find out about the future. Wow. And he wound up dying before his time. Be careful. That's all I have time for today. But I just suggest to you, as we'll go into this farther next week, but we need to understand these are just angels, created beings. And by the way, our Lord was made lower than the angels. You know what that means? He didn't take on the form of an angel. He took on the form of you and me. You know, angels have no way, the fallen angels, there is no plan of salvation for them. Hallelujah, there is for you and for me today. We have so much to be thankful for. God bless you. See you in church. Don't try to leave. Men with guns are at the door. Just kidding.